Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to Scottsdale. Great to have you with us on the show. Trey Bauer knows what it's like to play in the Fiesta Bowl and win the big game. He'll be joining us in a few moments. He was part of that national championship team in 1986, where in the 87 Fiesta Bowl, Penn State beat Miami 14-10 to win the second official national championship here. And Trey, of course, was the starting linebacker on that team. He'll be joining us in a few moments here in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio as we're in Scottsdale today. And Todd Sadowski will be joining us. Todd and Trey happen to be my cohorts on the Blue White Tailgate television show. We have really enjoyed working that show. I think Todd and I for 5 years, I think, and Trey for four as well. And we'll get them on in just a few moments. They're going to be joining us for the rest of the hour. First of all, our play-by-play call of the day. We've been using a series of calls over time here where the series of calls have been play-by-play calls of the year, some of the best plays, and we've got the one of the great ones coming up for tomorrow. But here's one. We take you back to the whiteout. Michigan, second play of the game. Penn State on its own 31-yard line. And for the first time this season, Saquon Barkley goes into the Wildcat.
Who takes the snap. Barkley to his left through the hole. 35, 40. There goes Barkley. 50, 35, 25, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Mr. Electricity lights it up at Beaver Stadium tonight.
And the Nittany Lions rolled to an impressive win in taking out Michigan in that game with relative ease. And with that, we bring in Trey Bauer, Todd Sadowski.
We should do this show more during the course of the year instead of just a couple times a year. But it is the show where I bring in my cohorts who, if you look at them, you're saying, wow, look at the shoulders on those two guys. If you had to carry me for weeks and weeks and weeks on end on television, you would have big shoulders, too. Trey Bauer.
Thanks, Steve. We carry you all over State College, so don't kid yourself.
Exactly. And Todd Sadowski.
Todd Sadowski, one of the nicest people ever in the world.
Very kind of you guys. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Been looking forward to this. This is going to be fun.
All right. Let's at least now reveal a couple of television show secrets. One is Todd and I might, in our own way, bait Trey when it comes to games like Notre Dame and LSU. Would that be fair to say, Todd?
Poking the bear. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you have some definite opinions.
I do. It's not like I go around spouting all this stuff with, you know, unprovoked. Yeah. You know, it's not like I have I hate Notre Dame, Miami, you know, flag in front of my house. People ask me about it, and I'll put my two cents in, but that's the way I've always been.
Is it safe to say, Todd, that in the middle chair there is no filter?
Absolutely. I mean, look, it's tough to follow him sometimes, but boy, I'm just riveted. You just don't know what's going to come out of that mouth of his, and I love it. And he says it's not unprovoked. All you do have to do is ask. I mean, you don't have to ask twice. Just ask once, and he'll tell you.
You and I both know, though, that there are certain segments of the audience that he does speak for.
Oh, yeah.
Correct.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right. So here they are at 10-2 teams going into this game. You've both taken a long, hard look at it. You know, obviously, we went through some tape when we taped the show because we have taped the show already. And when you look at it, what kind of matchup is this? And we'll start with Trey.
I think it's a perfect matchup. I mean, going from the programs themselves. I mean, obviously, Penn State's had more success nationally than Washington, but Washington's a great program. I mean, you go from their coach to Chris Peterson to our coach, James Franklin. They're very similar. You know, Owens guys, they have a plan to their plan, and, you know, they're very well coached. They've got great assistant coaches. They have a system that works for them. It's not going to work for everyone, but it happens to work for those particular programs. And they're very evenly matched. I mean, we talked about it on the show. I mean, you couldn't get a game that's more evenly matched than this one, I think.
Well, I agree with Trey in that this seems like they're mirror images of each other. They do a lot of things very similarly. I think if you got Coach Peterson and Coach Franklin in a room together, they'd say, oh, I concur. I agree quite a bit when they discuss philosophies and how to run a program and how to build an extended family and all the types of things. They've been careful about the jobs that they choose. Chris Peterson, we talked about, could have had many, many number of jobs throughout the country, and he waited until there was a Power 5 job that he really wanted to go for, and that was the Washington Huskies. And I guess the word that we would hear around Penn State during the year was complete. You look at their team, and it's a pretty complete team. If you really want to, you know, look for some weaknesses, you're going to have to nitpick, and you have to do the same thing to the Washington Huskies.
Todd, was this your fifth year doing the TV show?
I believe it was number five.
Yeah.
Your fifth, and I think
year.
It was Trey's fourth, my fifth and his fourth.
Yeah.
Trey's well, I can't. You know, I'll never get those 4 or 5 years back. So,
okay, just make up a number. He's not sure. I think it's Trey's eighth year. No. But now, and the reason I ask that is, think about the journey that we've covered in doing the show, Todd. Think about that part. You know, talking about, you know, will they get? You know, when are they going to be allowed to go to a bowl game? When are they going to be allowed to go to 85 scholarships? As we look back on the journey and see the last 2 years, how remarkable is it that they sit where they actually do sit right now?
Well, I'll give you a little perspective on that. It's interesting you ask about that because I was at work a little bit earlier today over at Fox 43, and I'm getting some footage together of Sam Ficken. Of course, everybody loves Sam. We're all excited for him signing with the L.A. Rams, and he's going to be kicking for a playoff team. We might see him in the postseason even. And I'm queuing up the footage of Sam kicking in the Pinstripe Bowl, right, in New York City just a couple of years ago. And now we're making reservations for the Fiesta 1 year after the Rose. So it has been. And remarkable and quick, and you know, it's just a welcome sight, right? I mean, certainly we all wanted to see them, and I think they're capable of being in the college football playoff. That's what makes this matchup with Washington really interesting, because this is the team that bumped them for the number 4 spot last year, so they get the head that they have to beat them. But your point's well taken, Steve. It's been a quick and fun journey.
And now, Trey, for you, I mean, you played on those teams. You played on teams that went to back-to-back national championship games. As a letterman, what do you feel now seeing how they bounce back so quickly from all of this?
Well, I mean, it just gives you a lot of pride. I mean, you know, at one point, it's like, you know, you mentioned Penn State or Penn State football or Joe Paterno, and it was like you were talking about Adolf Hitler. It was like the worst people ever that, you know, trafficked the planet. You know, and it was such negative talk all the time. And, you know, for me, I wasn't going to let anyone tell me differently than what I knew.
Right.
So, I mean, I just definitely just kind of gave it back. But it was a time when, you know, it just seemed you would just hope that it would get to the point where it is now, where you're talking about Penn State as the school, Penn State as the program, Penn State a perennial top 10, the way it should be. The fact is, you talked to someone 3 or 4 years ago. No one would have said that. You asked someone last year after Michigan and said, this is where Penn State's going to be. No one would believe you. So think about how fast that happened.
That's a really good point, right? After Michigan last year.
Sure.
And the great part is the truly great programs are the ones that have great, great tradition, a depth of tradition, but are also relevant at the moment.
Sure.
And that's what Penn State is. Now everybody knows that Penn State has a deep, historic, great tradition, and not only that, but you can talk about Penn State in the present being a great football program, too.
Yeah. I mean, just think about, like, what happened yesterday, right? If you think about, you know, obviously the National Signing Day yesterday, Penn State football and doing very well, which is on the road, getting all these guys. And, you know, Penn State guys, I saw 20 of the 21 recruits for their team captain. You know, they did a comparison of the last 4 years with James Franklin as the coach versus the 4 years prior. And where they were as far as the recruits that they had gotten, 4 or 5-star guys. And it's like not even close.
Yeah, it's 45 during his tenure to 14.
Yes. So the thing is, you know, when I was talking to people last year and the year prior, and they were talking about Penn State, I said, you can't compare the Penn State that's on the field at that time, the 12, 13, 14, because it just, there weren't enough players. They didn't have enough players. Then 15, 16 comes along. Now all of a sudden, you know, it's starting to turn a little bit. And obviously this year in 17, you know, it's a different caliber of player that you have.
Well, it's always been the difference, guys, when you reach week 6, 7, 8, 9 and beyond, the second half of the season. If you don't have that depth, it rears its ugly head by the time you're getting in deep into conference play, and you just, you know, you start to lose with attrition. You just can't keep the bodies on the field, and now they're able to do that. When you see them sign 3 5-stars and the number of 4-stars that they've got, and I just like the fact that the message is about the present and about extended family and about what the environment is about, you know, at there. And you hear, you know, we've all felt that when you talk to the Nittany Lions players that they feel it's a special place to go, right? And you hear that all around the program, and that's what you continue to hear now. And I like that part of it.
And Todd, let's take your experience of being down in the York market. York has always been a big Penn State area. What has it been like for you going around the community, seeing how the programs come back and how it's affected fans in your area?
Well, I mean, let's, you know, extending it out, Steve, you know, we cover York, Harrisburg, Lancaster, Lebanon, and all that. I mean, so look at the pipeline going from Harrisburg now. You know, the Micah Parsons signing obviously was humongous, and what a, you know, atmosphere it was yesterday morning at the Whitaker Center to have his family, friends, mates all around him, and that just kind of set the tone all day long. You know, we had Micah Parsons at 9:30, and then Charlie Catcher for Cumberland Valley at 11:30, followed by Zach Kuntz at 2:30 for Camp Hill, and then they've already offered Andre White with the Cougars last year, Damian Barber, Shaquan Anderson Butts with the Cougars. You know, James Franklin said, what did he say right from the beginning? I'm going to dominate the state in the recruiting. He's certainly got a secure hold in our backyard, and then he's brought in a third consecutive Pennsylvania Player of the Year, the number one ranked guy in PA for the third consecutive year. Miles Sanders, Lamont Wade, and now Micah Parsons is going to be suiting up in the blue and white.
Also, here's the other part. You're with the Fox affiliated down there. Now, last year, that paid off big because Fox, of course, carries the Big Ten championship game. What's it been like being part of now Fox, knowing that they've got the Big Ten contract for 5 more seasons beyond this, Todd?
Well, it's really changed, you know, the way that we can approach Penn State football. It's obviously always been a priority. You know, it's such an interesting television and sports market to cover, guys, because, you know, NFL has been king for a long, long time, but we're so fragmented. I mean, physically, we're closest to the Ravens, but we're in Eagle Station, and you know what the ratings are for the Steelers. I mean, their fan base is as passionate as any in the entire country. So, you know, we've always done a lot of football coverage, and Penn State's always been important, but the fact that, you know, we're able to show Penn State and Ohio State in Columbus, oh my God, what a game that was. And then last year, of course, the Big Ten championship, and it's not just Penn State football the last couple of years. It's this particular Penn State group of Penn State players. I can't remember a more exciting team, you know, since I've certainly been around covering the team to follow week in and week out. Just last year being a second half team, this year with Saquon Barkley and some of the fast starts that they've had, it's really just been really, really entertaining.
And that's a big part of this. The big part of this is not a final score, 13-10. And this is a team that racks up some numbers. They are entertaining to watch, Trey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they seem to really enjoy each other and the coaching staff. I mean, that there's a lot to be said for that. And for people that haven't been associated or haven't played at a big-time level, either football, basketball, or, you know, it's pretty much, you know, whatever, is that you spend so much time with these people. And it's like you can tell a lot about a team and the character of a team and how they play in the fourth quarter. And I say fourth quarter, the second part of the fourth quarter, because that's where, you know, the coaching comes in, the training comes in, and the actual the feeling of the team that they're going to gel together and they're going to somehow get it
kind
done.
Of a heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The heartbeat of a program is how they play in the fourth quarter. And I had said this to someone last year. After the Michigan game, someone had called me, and I'm not going to say who it was, but someone said to me, you know, do you think that James Franklin is the guy for this job? And I just F-bombed the guy for like 10 minutes, and I just said, I said, are you kidding me? I go, do you understand, like, you know, what they've done? I said, and I specifically brought up the point of, if you remember that game, that Michigan game, we had guys that were walk-ons playing in the big house and fighting to the very end. Now, okay, it's one thing if you're fighting with, you know, five-star guys and guys that are talented enough to do it. It's a different thing if you got walk-on guys. And there's nothing wrong about walk-ons. It's just a different scenario. But the fact is, none of those guys quit. They fought to the end. I'm like, that's where you'll see the program. Where the program is how they play late in the fourth quarter.
And then all of a sudden, since that point, they've won 19-22.
Correct. Yeah.
Did he ever call back?
I see him. I actually see him fairly often, and I remind him of that.
Yeah. Just envisioning that conversation, Steve. You know, that's what brought a chuckle to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I laugh it off, Todd. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, he hasn't turned on us.
No, I'm not turning on you guys.
Tommy Stevens, when they put out the latest depth chart for the bowl game, they put a new spot in there, the Lions spot.
It's ridiculous, by the way. Can I just say that flat out?
Okay.
Okay, guess what? We're going to make up a new – we're going to make up – there's not going to be a shooting guard. There's going to be a leader guard.
But you had a hero.
Okay, but that wasn't adding a position.
All right, I'm just saying, but you had
– So when does it end? Are we going to get through the whole trophy thing?
That's on defense, Steve. He's just bitter because it's an offensive position that they're creating. You know what I'm saying?
And it really kind of takes away from the moment because I was going to end the segment by giving him a trophy.
Yeah. And telling him that he's our hero, right?
You're our hero.
Oh, my gosh. That is so bad. No, I think, you know, Tommy Stevens.
But my question is about his versatility and how difficult it is to defend a guy like that. See, Todd, if I save the segment.
It says a lot about the program. It says a lot about James and the coaches. You know, they wanted to recognize this guy. It would have been very easy for him to go in the tank. He's playing behind a guy who's a great player. I mean, we've had quarterbacks here at Penn State, believe it or not, that went on to have great careers in the pros after leaving Penn State because they couldn't play.
They weren't playing. Jeff Hostetler.
Okay. Jeff Hostetler was a very, very good professional football player for 15 years and could not beat out the guy playing in front of him here. I mean, Tommy Stevens, in this day and age, people are transferring all the time. And he's sticking with it, and he wants to be a part of something bigger than himself. And for James to recognize him in that fashion, I think is great. Yeah. I really do.
Which then brings me to the other part. I was talking with Jack Ham last week, and I said, Jack, when you played, freshmen were not eligible. So you had forced patience. Everyone knew coming in they weren't going to play. You play on the freshman team,
correct,
and then you couldn't play again until your sophomore. So what kind of respect do you have, Todd, for a guy like Miles Sanders? Because you were at Media Day, and he was one of the players brought out. That here is a guy, a five-star guy who, quote, has waited his turn.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, look, let's face it. I think the freshmen that show up now are, you know, markedly different than freshmen that showed up in college before. You know, whether it's training, whether it's, you know, all the different stuff that they do, they might be more physically ready than they were back then. I that's the way that I would imagine it. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to look at that position, especially, though, and say, I deserve some more playing time over Saquon Barkley. It's just not going to happen. I mean, if you sign up to come to Penn State and you know Saquon Barkley is there, you know you're going to be waiting your turn. But to Trey's point about Tommy Stevens and what you're alluding to, Steve, is, you know, look, that's one of the harder questions for us to ask a kid or ask someone is, why are you staying? And, you know, Tommy's had that question asked of him, you know, just about every single year when he, you know, as soon as he lost the job to Trace, when it was head to head, the questions came out. Why are you staying? And I just have so much respect for the fact that, look, these are my friends. This is something I want to do. This is where I want to be. And he continues to find ways to get on the field. I mean, he's somewhat badgered him behind the scenes. I want to do special teams. I want to do this. And, you know, look, that translates in life, guys, right? I mean, that's not just on a football field. That's whether that's at a company or wherever you want. You want people that want to make themselves valuable to your team or your bottom line, whatever it may be. And Tommy Stevens has done that, deserves some more time on the field. And I think for Ricky Ronnie, he's just, look, just another weapon to put out there and deploy against defenses.
We've just scratched the surface. We'll come back with Todd and Trey as we continue. on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Again, Todd and Trey, more to come from them in the final half hour of the show today. Tomorrow's show should be a lot of fun, too. Bob Rondo, the legendary voice of Washington football, 37 seasons, his final game, his final broadcast for Washington coming up on Saturday. His color analyst, Damon Heward, he'll join us on the show tomorrow as well. From our sideline, Derek Williams and Jack Hamm will be on the show tomorrow. That's what we're looking forward to here. Game is coming up on Saturday in Glendale, just down the road here from Scottsdale. The kickoff on Saturday will be 4 o'clock Eastern time. We'll be on with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show at 2:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and also on WKOK.com. So that's what we have coming up for you. It is bowl season. In fact, we're closing in on the first New Year's Six Bowl, which is tomorrow night, the Cotton Bowl between USC and Ohio State, then Penn State and Washington Saturday at 4. Todd and Trey, one more half hour to go with them as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are lots of ways to ring out the old and ring in the new. But the best way is in a new Ford car, truck, or SUV from Sunbury Motors Ford. As we count down the days in 2017, SMC is where you want to be. But time is running out, so come to the dealer with four city blocks of new Fords. And the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for the best car dealership in the Valley for 2 years in a row. SMC is where you want to be with over 88 new Ford trucks with savings up to $13,500. SMC is where you want to be for the most trusted SUV brand, the Ford Escape. Choose from 33 new Ford Escapes starting as low as $18,975. And Sunbury Motors Ford has financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. Plus, during the final days of Ford's year-end sales event, there's now up to $2,000 in total cash savings on specially tagged vehicles on top of the best deals of the season. SMC is where you want to be to ring out the old and ring in the new. But you have to hurry before the ball drops. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back. Great to have you with us. Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, Steve Jones. Yes, the blue-white tailgate crew together to talk about Penn State football with Washington in the Fiesta Bowl coming up. We talked about Tommy Stevens earlier. Let's get to Saquon Barkley. Todd, should we allow everyone to have Trey go first on Barkley?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to hear what he has to say.
I mean, you were pretty blunt about him not going to the Heisman ceremony.
Who's Saquon Barkley?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I knew you'd try.
Again, he's the best football player in America. And last I checked, the Heisman Trophy is given to the best football player in America in college, and he is. And for him not to even be invited to the ceremony, right, is just a disgrace to me. And you know. He's going to be laughing all the way to the bank, Steve Jones. That's all I got to say.
Yes, he will be.
Chuckling and dancing his way to the Brinks truck as he signs as a top five pick in the NFL.
Do they not have an extra chair there at the ceremony? Couldn't make an extra one in the row or maybe two? I mean, what is the Heisman? You know, look, I know it's the Heisman Trophy and, you know, it's a prestigious award, but if you want it to stay a prestigious award, for one, quit doing all these straw polls with Heisman voters, and you tell your voters, don't say one word about who you're voting for until the end. You've got to continue the mystery of the award by the end of it, because no one tunes in, because it's already been voted on, basically, by the time they get there. And why can't it be a little bit more inclusive? Who cares if Saquon Barkley was a distant fourth? He was fourth. Invite the top five kids. Now you've got two extra major college programs and their fans tuning into the ceremony, at least interested in what's going on. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And, you know, why would you not want a guy like Saquon Barkley to represent what your award is supposed to represent, even if he's not winning? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No. It didn't, but he ended up with fourth, I guess, overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Trace McSorley, we've now watched him as the starting quarterback for the last 2 years, got the first taste of what he could do in the Taxslayer Bowl, especially in the second half against Georgia. Todd, when you watch him play, because, I mean, you'll do this in a couple ways. Sometimes you're watching him from up top, and then other times late in the game you get a chance field level to see what he does. What do you see?
Well, look, I'll go back to the blue-white game, all right, when they didn't know who their starting quarterback was going to be, and we saw a brief glimpse of Trace in the Tax Slayer Bowl, and immediately you could see the leadership skills because they moved right down the field on George, and he threw a touchdown, almost brought him back. You know, everybody talks about JT Barrett. I don't care if it's a 7-7. That game against Penn State, it's not even easy to complete, what, 33 of 39 if you have nobody defending you, right? I mean, to be that accurate. And that's what I saw from Trace right from the beginning in the blue-white game. Yes, he's not going to get hit, but he continued to just put the ball right between the numbers, lead receivers perfectly, away from defenders. You know, the drive against Iowa. I mean, what hasn't he shown us? Whether you're watching from the field, the stands, the press box, on television, the guy is just a winner. And I just enjoy watching him. You know, look, he's probably going to be a Heisman contender at the beginning of next year, depending on how he does in the big game, certainly. But they have went defenses have went to all lengths to try and shut down Saquon Barkley and said every time Trace McSorley's going to have to beat us. And, oh, what is he, 21-5? He's beaten them. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job.
I mean, when you played, probably the most mobile quarterback you played probably was Flutie, right?
Oh, yeah. Flutie was a great college football player.
I mean, not good. He was a legitimately great college football player. In fact, he was a really good pro, too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in the CFL, he was really good. How tough was it when you faced someone that had mobility to go with an arm and was not just a one-dimensional guy?
Well, it was really difficult. I mean, the fact is that, you know, I think Doug still has the Beaver Stadium passing record for an opponent.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Right? That was...
What, 484 or some number like
that. Yeah, and that's the year that we beat them and he won the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it was a very frustrating game to play in because he was all over the place and, you know... The knock on him was that he wasn't big enough to play in the NFL. Well, let me tell you something. Boston College teams of the 80s were like one of the big steroid user schools. And these guys were houses, all right? And he looked like a midget back there. You couldn't even see over the guys. I mean, they averaged like 6'5", 6'6", when the average offensive lineman was a 6'3 guy.
Right.
They were bigger than every offensive line in the NFL. And the fact is, he put up great numbers, played a really tough schedule, and I just didn't think he ever really got his due. But it's very, very difficult to try to combat, especially someone who is hiding literally behind a giant offensive line. You can't even see him.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of that has, you know, with Trace, I mean, I think our offensive line is so huge that, you know, he gets kind of like lost in the shuffle. They can't find him back there.
And Trey, as a linebacker, you know, I'm sure you can speak to this part of it. What I like what Trace does is he's almost like a point guard or like somebody in basketball where he is going to show you the run. And so you have to respect that. But if you come up too soon, he's going to drop it right over your head to his receiver. So he not only uses his feet, obviously, to move the chains and run and get a first down, but he also moves it to move the defense and, you know, buy himself some time. And, you know, you get caught in between trying to figure out, is the guy going to tuck it under and run, or is he going to drop it over my head, you know, just like he did to Barkley on the winning drive against Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, it's hard for, you know, it's not difficult for the three of us who obviously are involved with Penn State football and follow it from very close, but it's really interesting to me because you meet Trace McSorley, and he's the most unassuming kid you'll ever meet in your life, and he's so soft-spoken, and I almost laugh when I watch him play football because I'm like, who is this guy? Where did this guy come from? Because he's just such a humble, quiet kid. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, I've got two daughters and I would be like, you know what? You date Trace McSorley. He's a really sweet kid and good for you. But when he gets on the football field, it's like he becomes like a different person. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's Sean Lee.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean Lee, the old blue line.
Yeah.
On one side of the blue line, right, we're bordering on Mother Teresa.
Correct.
Right. On the other side of the blue line, we're bordering on Dick Butkus.
Correct.
Hey, I'm talking personality.
Yes.
I mean guys had to calm Sean down in practice sometimes.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, then he crossed the blue line. And he's like, can I get any food from the pantry for you?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, good. Fabulous. Okay. Yeah. you just tried to kill me out there. Well, then we're done with that.
Yeah. Now I'll try and kill you tomorrow too, but we're not going to kill you right now.
Well, between now and then, I'd like to feed you.
Yeah. Yes.
Which then brings me to defense. Let's tap into your defensive expertise here.
What kind of defense did you see Penn State play this season?
I think Penn State, they have a lot of room to grow. I think that's interesting that if you had to look at, other than the injuries down the stretch with the defensive line, if you think about defense being the defensive line, then you have the linebackers and you have the defensive secondary. I mean, coming from a school, you know, linebacker U, I mean, in my opinion, I think the linebacker is the weakest of that group. And I think that, you know, having younger guys coming in and having Micah Parsons and having some other guys that are coming in, I think it's going to take them a little while to kind of get back to where it was. But it's almost unfathomable to say that that was the weakest part of the defense, but I think that it was.
When you look at today's style of offense, is so many RPOs, is it more difficult to defend as a linebacker today as opposed to, like, for example, when Penn State played Iowa? Well, that's a pretty good matchup for Penn State. They, you know, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think it's like the RPO in the days of the 80s would be similar to a wishbone type play, but you knew that the wishbone offense, you were going to throw the ball 6 or 10 times a game.
Right.
The run-pass option, it clearly is a run and pass option. So, yeah. And if you've got a guy who can, you know, who can sling it around, and you've got some good receivers, I mean, it could cause a lot of problems.
A key package for Penn State in the last couple of years has been what I refer to as the four defensive end package. Ohio mm-hmm. State runs it. Penn State runs it with Givens coming in and Buckholz flipping from end to tackle. Buckholz, Todd, wasn't there the last 6 weeks. They lost an entire package that they relied on. How difficult is that to overcome sometimes where suddenly you have to scratch something out that, you know, you can't use for a while?
Well, we found out quickly against Ohio State when you don't have a pass rush, what happens. And, you know, look, it's great to have a rotation and it's great to have numbers and bodies. And I think that's important, but not every offense is going to allow you to do that. And what happened at Ohio State, one, is Buckholz went out of the game. And two, they ran a fast-paced offense. They did not allow any rotation in the defensive end position. And, you know, those guys had their hands on their hips and they were just spent by the time they got to the third quarter, and they just couldn't, you know, so that's where it's nice to have those one or two guys that are, you know, you want them on the field every single play that, you know, that are just the stud players that are going to be pros, because it puts too much pressure on your secondary. You know, I love the fact that they didn't give up any points in the first quarter, right. You know, from the get-go. They showed up ready to play the entire defense, but that's just, they didn't face a ton of great quarterbacks, just, you know, pure throwing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And whether it's college or whether it's pro guys, you know, if you got a hot quarterback, I mean, or a sophisticated passing system, whatever, it's just too much pressure to hold and keep guys covered mm-hmm. if you can't get to the quarterback. And, you know, look, that might be an issue against Washington. I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's when they struggled the most, is they just couldn't get to the quarterback. And against Michigan State, he was able to move around enough, the QB, to buy enough time to hurt them in the passing game as well.
Penn State has given up 4.3 yards per punt return for the entire season when the ball has been returned. They are facing somebody that averages 20 yards per punt return, has 9 career touchdowns, including 4 this season. You played in a field.
Don't punt him the ball. How about that? How about that strategy? Don't punt him the ball. Blake Gilligan, you punt the ball into the sideline every single time. Do not punt him the ball.
And now on point counterpoint, we bring in Todd Sadowski.
No, Steve, I'll throw it to you because you've mentioned, look, you've seen Blake kick. Yeah. You've raved about his accuracy as a punter. Yeah. And in order to accomplish what Trey wants to accomplish, that's what you need. You got to be able to place the ball where you can.
Well, it's all about ball placement. It's not just a question of rearing back and just belting it as far as you can belt it. And if you have a punter who can place it in a spot, which includes, by the way, say, close to the sideline where mm-hmm. the ball might go out of bounds, right? And there's no return. That means everything, I think, in today's game. That's why, with all due respect to the Rutgers punter, who had a really good year, Todd made the point on the TV show, and he was absolutely right. He said, look, you're punting from the 10-yard line. You're going to get some 55 yards.
Yeah, a lot.
As opposed to the guy that says, okay, we're at the 45. I have to dump it down at the 8.
Correct.
I mean, this guy is... Trey made the great point the other day on the show. He says, who is the MVP of the Aloha Bowl?
George Reynolds.
George Reynolds.
The punter. I just think that if you think about a game like this, where they're so evenly matched, these teams, from the coaches we talked about earlier, from the coaches, the offense, the defense, right, and the special teams, the one thing, and the same thing goes for Washington. I wouldn't kick to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's, I mean, he's in the back. He's back returning kicks. Don't kick it to him.
Well, Nebraska cracked me up. Barkley wasn't there. They thought he was.
Yes, exactly.
every kickoff. No, he's got to be back there. He has to. Okay. Does anybody in the press box know the difference between a 26 and a 10?
Yeah.
Okay. You wonder why your staff didn't make it. They couldn't understand a 26 and a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the philosophy is the same for the punter, too. I mean, if Blake can rear back and kick it 60 yards, great. But you now kick your coverage. You know, even if you don't angle it and you kick it higher. You know what I mean? Even make the adjustment and kick it 45 yards or 40 yards and a lot higher so that your coverage is all standing around him when he catches the ball as opposed to booming it 60, and he's got 5-10 yards to figure out how to make the first couple of guys miss, and there he goes.
Well, I know one thing, Todd. You definitely outkicked your coverage marrying the girl that you married.
Yeah, you did.
Just saying.
Yeah, you
just,
did.
Let's just call it.
You really did, yeah.
It wasn't hard to outkick my coverage. Trust me. It wasn't hard to marry up.
Okay, Clemson and Alabama.
Alabama.
I'm going Clemson.
I'm going Clemson.
Okay, one for me. Go on.
Okay. Yeah, but but watching you pick Alabama and then watching your handshake.
Okay.
Okay. That was really worth it on my end.
Do we want to preface this pick segment by saying you won the pick segment on the Blue White Tailgate, and then I brought up the rear again? So for any of your listeners out there, I'm not so sure how it takes what I say.
I didn't keep track of it. I know that Mueller's involved because there's going to be some sort of like shenanigans that Steve won the pick. So I'm not really sure if that's true or not.
Oklahoma, Georgia, Rose Bowl.
Oklahoma.
I like Oklahoma's defense to be a difference in that game a little bit. I think they can hold Georgia down farther than Georgia's D can hold Baker Mayfield and the Sooners.
Yeah, I've got Oklahoma, and it's really weird to say a Big 12 defense is the difference. Let's see.
Yes, it is.
I mean, the words is, okay, Ohio State and USC.
Don't care. I'm not picking.
Okay, Todd.
Not picking. I don't care.
Heck.
Wow. 0-0, Todd Sadowski. How about that?
That's an interesting game.
Blue great point average. 0.0.
Where's that game at? Where are they playing in? The Cotton?
Cotton Bowl at Jerry World.
Like that matters. I'll go Ohio State.
Yeah. I'll take Ohio State. All right. I saved the best for last, Todd.
Mm-hmm. It's only one person needs to weigh in on this one, and I know where you're going.
LSU Notre Dame.
Again. Fat rear end Ed Orgeron. Unless he gets fired and Les Miles comes back to coach that game, is the only way that LSU wins. And I hate Notre Dame, but I got to say it. That's the only way that LSU wins. Enough's enough.
I can't follow that, Steve. Move on to the next one.
There really is no one on the planet that can. Miami, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, of course. I'll never pick Miami.
Yeah.
I'll say Wisconsin has to win this game. They need to win this game. Right. They got to win this game.
Wisconsin. Auburn, Central Florida.
Auburn kills them.
I'll take Auburn.
Yeah, I'll take them as well. I think, what did I say? I get, that was the game I had.
Yeah.
And I said, it's adorable they let them in.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Hey, you know, but that's the classic matchup, guys, when you talk about bowl games. Who's interested? Who cares? Right. If Auburn cares and they're interested, they're going to win that game.
Right. If they're not, they're gone.
Yeah.
And to me, that's always the worst one, because I remember I talked to Matt LePay, Wisconsin's play-by-play guy, after the Big Ten championship game last year. I said, Matt, your team's in a really tough spot. I said, you're playing Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. I said, if you win the game, everybody goes, big deal, you beat Western Michigan. I said, if you lose the game, what? How could you lose to Western Michigan?
Yeah.
So that's a bad sign. Auburn, that team's always put in a bad spot. Auburn's in a bad spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, for them to lose three games and be eighth in the country, I just don't understand that.
Right. Well,
and
Penn State,
I mean, I think that's a joke. And, you know, I mean, has Auburn, are they going to just pack it in and not do anything? No. I mean, you know, who knows? Yeah.
Gentlemen, it is always, and I do mean always, a pleasure.
Anytime, Steve.
Whether it's radio, TV, or the golf course.
Awesome. Merry Christmas, boys.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to your listeners as well.
Trey Bauer, Todd Sadowski. Great to have them with us. Always great to share a football season with them. We really have a great time taping the Blue White Tailgate Show. And by the way, Kerry Stroh, right? The Valley Zone is the producer of that show and does a great, great job with it. And the chemistry between Todd and Trey, we mix Jay Paterno in there as well. We have a great time with it. Just a great time. All right. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up on tomorrow's show, and this should be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this very, very much. And that would be Bob Rondo, the legendary play-by-play voice of Washington football, broadcasting his final game tomorrow. He's going out on his own terms. And we're going to have Bob on the show tomorrow. His color analyst is the former Washington quarterback and former NFL quarterback, Damon Heward. Our sideline analyst is Derek Williams. He'll join us tomorrow. And Jack Hamm will join us on the show tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that as well as we get all the announcers on the show tomorrow. We had Dave Pasch on last week who's doing the game on ESPN, but we'll get Bob Rondo and Damon Heward's take and really break down Washington for you, and Jack and Derek will really break down Penn State for you. That'll be a fun show. If you're a football fan, you want to know the nuts and bolts about Saturday's game out in Glendale, tomorrow's the show you need to listen to. Now, today was a lot of fun. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. And thanks so much for the record podcast numbers we have been getting. That's a tribute to the great work that Sean's been doing lining up guests. Sean Carey has been, and the guests have had, brought with them a lot of interest. I don't care. It's Spider Caldwell to a Dave Pasch to Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer to a Jack Hamm. I mean, we go Merrill Reese, Bill Hillgrove. We go through a long, long line of people that have been on the show and have contributed so much. So check out the podcast, stevejonesshow.com. Bob Rondo, Damon Heward, Jack Hamm, Derek Williams, all on tomorrow's show. Our thanks today, Dick Girardi for being on the show today, Lou Prado for being on the show today, and also Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer. Show's been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.